Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. 815 area code requested our first Triple Play Thursday, and it's Harry Nilsson. Harry Nilsson. You know what song Harry Nilsson wrote? The song that opens my favorite movie of all time. He wrote one. Yes, he did.
Did he also write that one about being by himself?
All by myself?
Yes.
No, that was Eric Carmen.
No.
It was.
Okay.
Why? What did you?
No,
am I missing something? Did I not?
No, it's just South Park, because you said Eric
Carmen. Cartman.
It sounded like it.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was giggling.
Okay. I was like, wait, am I missing something?
Wait,
oh, yeah.
Doesn't he sing one about being by himself or alone or missing someone?
One is the loneliest number that there ever, I mean.
No, but this one's like how he wishes they were back or something like that. Living without you.
I can't live.
Yes.
If living is without you.
There you go. That one.
God, I can't remember if that's Nilsson or not. I think it might be, yeah.
I had a dream where I was singing that with someone.
Wait a minute, what?
Some celebrity, I forget who it was. And then I realized, I was like, why do I have this song in my head? I was incepted by a commercial on TV. Because then it came on like days later and I went, oh my God, that is why that was in my dream.
So DiCaprio and the crew got in there and implanted this song in your head.
Right, that commercial did
it. Okay, I got it.
It was frightening because for days I was like, why?
Daniel Jealous, Tom Hardy was in her head.
Do you remember
his
name?
I am, actually, yes.
I can't remember whether that was him or not, Harry Nilsson. If he did, I can't live if living is without you. I sing it very well, though. He did write, if I'm not mistaken, I think he also wrote, can you look this up, Dandy? I think he wrote Mama Told Me Not to Come, which is one of the best.
I think he does that Living Without You song.
You mean, I can't live if liberty is without you. You mean that?
Yes.
I can't forget tomorrow. This is Nilsson? It is. Okay. Think of all my sorrow when I had you there. Did 815 request this one? Oh.
Now, I want to say I sang the chorus with J-Lo.
You sang
Jennifer, not Jennifer Lawrence, Jennifer Lopez in my dream.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Not Jennifer Lawrence.
No.
So J-Lo, not J-Law.
Yes, correct.
You want to hear something interesting totally out of blue?
Yeah.
Your new favorite Star Trek character is based on Jennifer Lawrence.
She is?
That's why they named her J-Law in the movie, right?
Is that right?
Simon Pegg based around Jennifer Lawrence.
Wow, I didn't know that. See, that makes her even cooler now.
Why didn't they just get Jennifer Lawrence to play it?
Because I'm assuming Jennifer Lawrence is like, I don't want paint all over my body again. I do these damn X-Men movies. They paint me all blue. You're not going to paint me with stripes. I'm not doing it. So, but did he write, Dan, can you look up Mama Told Me Not to Come? Because I think Nilsson wrote that one too. That song's hilarious, by the way. Do you know that song, Esmeralda?
Not sure.
By Three Dog Night?
I mean, maybe if I heard it.
If you, Vic, you remember the song?
No.
Mama Told Me Not to Come?
You should sing it.
Well, let's see. Basically he's at a party and he's describing how crazy the party is. And then the chorus is, Mama told me not to come. What? Yeah.
This is like in every 70s era movie.
Well, yeah. It's a legendary song.
Right.
Did Nilsson write it?
I can't confirm it, but Randy Newman's the name.
Oh, Randy Newman. That's right. It's Randy Newman. Sorry. It was Randy Newman. Yeah. Was not Nilsson. It was Randy Newman. Yeah. That song is hilarious. Well, Randy Newman, a lot of Randy Newman stuff is very funny. It's like he's describing the party and I looked at my girlfriend. She's passed out on the floor. At one point, you know, open up the window, sucker. Let me catch my breath is one of the lines in the song. And that, by the way, was when Three Dog Night dominated the world. There was a period of time in the early 70s when Three Dog Night, seriously, was like the most popular band. They were the U2 of the early 70s. They were everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah, man. So Harry Nilsson, we'll hear three songs by Harry, evidently deep cuts. So, hey, how lovely and charming was Rachel True? Come on.
She's very California.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so cute, though.
She's from New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Because she has that very, like...
Oh, well, she's totally embraced the world of California.
Right.
She was born and raised in New York.
Oh, okay.
But
it's cute, though.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Adorable.
She's so great. I'm really, really excited to meet her. It's going to be great. By the way, Flashback Weekend, let me give you a quick rundown of some of the stuff that's happening there. You should get your tickets now. It's August 5th through the 7th at the Crown Plaza, Chicago O'Hare. And it's the Flashback Weekend Chicago Horror Convention. You can get tickets at flashbackweekend.com. And you can also call 847-647-3124, 847-647-3124 for information and tickets. Lots of amazing people are going to be there. Nev Campbell, Matthew Lillard, Skeet Ulrich from Scream, from The Craft. In addition to that, Skeet Ulrich, Nev Campbell, and our guest Rachel True. They're going to screen The Craft. They're going to screen Scream outside, like on the drive-in screen next to the hotel. Malcolm McDowell from A Clockwork Orange is going to be there. Robert Kurtzman, one of the greatest special effects guys ever, is going to be there. Don Coscarelli, the director of Phantasm, is going to be there, and he is going to be there to introduce Phantasm Remastered, which is the remastered version of Phantasm that J.J. Abrams supervised, and it's in 4K digital. And there's two screenings of that at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont, which is just a couple of blocks away from the hotel. They're going to screen that Friday night at 10 o'clock and Saturday night at 11:30. And I'm going to introduce Don as he introduces the movie. It's going to be great. Julian Sands from Warlock is going to be there. Bob Elmore, who played Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, is going to be there. Our buddy Ted Raimi, who was on the show yesterday, is going to be there from Ash vs. Evil Dead. And Eugene Clark, this is what a dork I am. And Dan, I was telling you this. I'm very excited about everything that's happening at Flashback. Svengoolie's going to be there, by the way. He's going to do a live Svengoolie show. And they're going to screen Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. There's going to be interactive gifts and prizes and all kinds of cool stuff. You can also get your picture and autograph with Rich. He's going to be there for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. But there's a ton of actors and actresses that are going to be there. But I got all excited. This is how much of a dork I am. And Esmeralda, like, you don't need any more proof of the fact that I'm a massive dork. Do you know who Eugene Clark is?
No.
Nobody does. But when I saw his name listed, I went nuts. Because he played the zombie Big Daddy in George Romero's Land of the Dead. And Big Daddy is one of my favorite zombies in zombie movie history.
Is he the one that actually can kind of do the body language equivalent of a quip?
Well, in the George Romero movies, the zombies always evolve. Like with each subsequent movie, they can do more and they adapt more and they learn more.
Yeah, no.
Big Daddy, because the most famous zombie in movie history is Bub from Day of the Dead. Without question, Bub is the most famous zombie in the history of any zombie movies. It's Bub. And the guy who played Bub, by the way, is also the guy from the Seinfeld episode who has the operation on his spleen and the Junior Mint goes into his body. That's the guy who played Bub. That's the same guy as the Junior Mint episode.
No, Big Daddy's great. Yeah, he's the one that he starts to understand what's going on and gets angry about
it. No, he's the king. And he's like, he's a gas station attendant. And he pumps gas, like he knows that, and then he learns how to use guns. And he basically leads the zombie uprising against Dennis Hopper in Land of the Dead. But Big Daddy rules.
Now, am I the only one? He looks like Charlie Murphy.
He does. Yeah, he does. He's a little bit bigger. He's a little bigger than Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, with the makeup.
But yeah, no, I can understand that. I can totally understand that. But that's Big Daddy. And I've never met Big Daddy. And I'm going to lose my mind when I meet Big Daddy. I'm just going to lose my mind. So here I am. I'm all excited. he's just the guy who played a zombie in Land of the Dead, and I just went, I saw his name, and I went, oh, my God, Big Daddy's going to be there. I texted my ex-wife. I texted Heather, because Heather and I, when I first met Heather, I was going through a bad breakup that I was pining for like 2 years. It was terrible. So I never pulled the trigger with Heather. Like she was very patient with me. I was always just like, no, I don't want to get involved. Then I went over to her apartment for the first time and I saw her DVD collection. I went, oh, okay, it's fine. Because she had every zombie movie. She had every Lucio Fulci film. Lucio Fulci, by the way, Italian director who specializes in completely over-the-top, gross, gory movies. And she had, like, all of them. So I was like, well, this is going to work out. So when we first started dating, about 6 months after we started dating, Land of the Dead came out, the George Romero movie, Land of the Dead. And we went immediately. You know, I went to the screening immediately. And we both fell in love with Big Daddy. Like, we're like, Big Daddy is the king. Big Daddy rules the world. He's the best zombie since Bub. No question. I said no question. Even Jimmy Castor would have agreed. So I text, when I found out that Big Daddy was going to be at Flashback, I text Heather, and she goes, oh, that's great, because she went to a bunch of flashbacks with me when we were together. She goes, oh, that's great. We get divorced. I move away, and now Big Daddy shows up at the flashback. I'm like, see, we should have stayed together. You'd have got to meet Big Daddy. So anyway, lots of great stuff happening at the Flashback Convention. Again, get your tickets. It's going to be a blast. Flashbackweekend.com, August 5th through the 7th, Crown Plaza Hotel, and 847-647-3124. 847-647-3124 at flashbackweekend.com. I'm going to be there all weekend. It's going to be great. Come up and say hi if you're going to go, if you're going to check it out. So that'll be fun. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I have some lumberjack lingo and some other lingo that we're going to talk about. So we want to talk about jargon and lingo. And we can talk about some of the jargon that we use here at the station, you know, here in the radio biz. But I would love to hear from you. What jargon do you use that's maybe exclusive to a group of people? Or exclusive to your job? I love to talk about phrases and jargon and lingo that you use in your job or in your world. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Remember, life is never as it seems. Dream. Yeah. 815 area code, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. Realizing that Harry Nilsson had wrote nothing but happy songs. that's Remember by Harry Nilsson. Triple Play Thursday, one artist, three songs. You request them, 312-981-7200. Okay. So I've got some lingo here from the world of lumberjacking. Now, Dan, where did we find this? Why specifically lumberjack?
I am not sure why Mental Floss chose to choose that, but they did.
Okay. But were they maybe trying to tie it in with Python in some way? Because Monty Python, you guys know the lumberjack song from Monty Python, don't you? You don't know the lumberjack song?
I do.
Oh. Dan, do you not know the lumberjack song?
I do not.
Oh, man. It's pretty great.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
I work, I sleep all night and I work all day. Yep.
Put on women's clothing.
And hang around in bars. what is yeah, so that's the lumberjack song. Dan, you've never seen the lumberjack song?
I have not.
Wow, man. It's one of those legendary Monty Python bits. Now you know the spam, right? Spam, 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 spam.
Spamity spam.
Yep.
Shut up! I don't like spam. That
I love it. I'm having spam, 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 sausage spam, 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 and spam. This is mad. My father and I would sit in front of the TV and we'd laugh at Monty Python, and my mom would be like, I don't understand any of this. We would just be laughing. My dad turned me on to Python. I think it was because I was watching, I don't know, I was watching some stupid, I think I was watching like Welcome Back, Kotter, and going, ha, 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 you know, I'm laughing at Welcome Back, Kotter, and my dad's sitting there going, now listen, here's the deal. Sunday night at 10, we're going to watch Channel 11, and you'll learn. My dad, I think my dad was just disgusted by the fact that I was so amused by Welcome Back, Kotter. I was like, ah, this is funny. Up your nose with a rubber hose. Awesome. And my dad's like, yeah, listen, let me show you something. And then my dad showed me Python, and my life changed. It's like, oh, I see. That sucked. What I was watching sucked. This is really funny. It was so weird, though, man. Like, I'm a 10-year-old kid watching Python. You're like, now I'm like 9 years old or something. And I'm watching Python. What? I didn't get half of it. As I got older, I was like, oh, I get it.
I was in high school. I didn't even get half of it.
I bet people watch it now as adults. They don't get half of it. There's stuff. It's just, there's so many things that Python does. You just go, what? Anyway, lumberjack lingo. You ready? All hands and the cook. That's the lumberjack version of the nautical all hands on deck. This phrase is used to announce an emergency, such as a log jam. Sorry, just log jam. Log jam reminds me of the Big Lebowski. That I'm sorry. Well, you can imagine what happens next. He fixes the cable. Big Lebowski rules. Requiring everybody's help without exception. So all hands and the cook. Even the cook has to help. That's a lumberjack lingo. Daylight in the swamp. Next time you need to wake someone up, you can shout, daylight in the swamp! Guess that's how they woke lumberjacks up when they were sleeping. How about box up the dough? Box up the dough. To box up the dough means to cook in lumberjack slang and might be heard in New England and the Great Lakes. We're guessing that the expression might have to do with the kneading or beating up dough to make into bread. So that's cooking. Box up the dough. I don't know. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Boxing the dough?
Box up the dough.
We box it up into an oven, which is a box.
No, you punch it and knead it.
Punch it. Box it up.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Dan's the only one that made any sense out of that, Esmeralda. We were both like, huh? Dan,
well,
you know,
like a box.
Dan's it's just like sitting there going, why are you guys confused? Are you idiots? What's the...
Very close.
4590. That's lager lingo for a large sausage. What? Named after a rather sizable rifle cartridge of the time. A 4590. A lot of food references here for the lumberjacks. What are they? They just eat?
Yeah.
And then they press wildflowers?
They need a lot of energy.
Yeah. So they need a 4590.
Yeah, they do.
All right. Well, now what lingo do we use here? Now, we actually use some of the lingo here on the air. Like, we use spots, bumps. And that's what the listeners are responsible for.
Levels.
Levels. Yeah. What else, Dan?
We have two versions of traffic.
Oh, yes, we do. Explain.
There is the traffic that Esmeralda does, mm-hmm. and then for some reason the department that handles the commercials is also known as traffic.
That's right. I think when people come here and they look on the office doors, they get confused.
Yeah.
I got confused.
Well, you got confused because you were like, am I supposed to be in here?
Why are there no microphones?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
sat around for a while like, anybody?
I don't think I'm supposed to be. I think this traffic means different. What about we got the board, right? Working the board. That's what I'm doing right now. See? That's working the board.
Fade. Would that be a
fade? A fader.
Fade out. Fading.
Yeah. Fade would be. That's what it is.
This isn't, well, this could be us as well. We hit the post.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's mostly, you know, that's like an FM jock thing.
Right. I mean, we could do it too, I guess, in a way.
God, you know, the best hit the post ever in the history of hitting the post, the great Bob Collins. Dan, did you ever hear the greatest hitting the post ever?
No.
Okay. I can't remember what song it was, but it was by the Beatles. And the music's playing. It's playing. It's playing. Okay. The intro is playing. Nothing. You don't hear anything. Don't hear anything. A millisecond before Paul starts singing, all of a sudden, Colin just goes, Beatles! And that's it. It was the greatest. I wish we could find that. I always remember this. One of my favorite Bob Collins memories. And I wish I could. The song, he played the song. The intro is going for like 25 seconds. It's a long intro. Right a millisecond before the singing begins. Beatles! It's the greatest. I was like, man, Bob Collins rules. All right. All right. Lingo and jargon. Jingo, I was going to say. Jingo. He was unchained, right? All right, we got to take a break. The D is silent. All right, 312-981-7200. News is next.
Yeah. Call me in the morning.
Yeah. 815 area code, Harry Nilsson. This is a classic.
In another witch movie, the one with Sandra Bullock and...
Practical Magic?
Yes.
Wow. And is it Nicole Kidman, right?
Yes.
I've only seen that movie once, and I don't remember much of it because I didn't like it.
I've seen it a few times. I don't know why.
I don't remember much about that movie. That song was in there?
Mm-hmm. They dance around a kitchen island.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, and I actually like witch movies.
I mean, it was kind of dumb.
They kind of freak me out. Good witch movies kind of freak me out.
Yeah, this wasn't a good witch movie.
I mean, my favorite movie of the year so far is The Witch. It's actually called The Witch. That's my favorite movie of this year so far. But, like, Suspiria is a fantastic.
Do you like The Witches?
From the 70s?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie. Are you kidding me? That movie rules. Also very weird. The insane Ken Russell directed that movie. That guy was nuts. Nuts! what was the one with Angelica Houston? Was that called...
Wasn't that The Witches?
That's The Witches. What was I think? Why am I thinking of... Ken Russell made a movie in the 70s.
Oh, I don't know.
Called The Witches. Dan, can you look up the... Angelica Houston was also called The Witches? I like that movie, too.
Yeah, everyone turn people into mice.
Yeah, I like that movie. That was a good movie. I'm just trying to think of the one that I thought of immediately when you said The Witches was Ken Russell from the 70s. And that was it's an absolutely insane film. So, all right. Speaking of witches, everybody should come see the Craft reunion at the Flashback weekend. It's going to be great. All right, have we thought about any more jargon that we use here at the station? Any other ones that come in?
Pot things up and down.
Yeah. Pot things up and down.
Q? Yeah.
In queue.
Put it in queue.
Put it in queue. That's another one.
Yeah. What's it when you, with your peas, pop your peas?
I don't know.
You're speaking?
When you pop your peas,
yeah, pop your peas.
Right.
I just think that phrase, like, no one, people would be like, what?
Pop your peas.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's why we have the little wind guard in front of the mic. Little screen. So if you pop your peas, it doesn't sound as bad.
Sure.
Or you get spit all over the mic. Yeah. Man, I love the fact that there are a lot of people who work at the station who, when they come in to sit down, and they will clean everything in front of them.
Yeah, Mary does that.
Mary does it. Andrea does it. Dave.
Ferguson.
Ferguson does it, too? Oh, yeah, Bob. Yeah, of course. Bob. Yes, of course. Bob does, too. Yeah, he comes in with a sparkle.
Although, you know what? I don't blame him.
Yeah.
So many people touching these mics, spitting on the mics.
No, it's true. I understand. Everything. I understand that. I really do.
Grimy little hands.
But, jeez. Wow. What kind of
what's
people?
What's going on in the traffic with cars over there?
What's going on in there? They're just grimy little people sticking their hands all over everything.
That Violetta.
Well, because, you know, like, well, at least with traffic, we live in here. So, you know, I eat right here, and I'm drinking coffee, and I'm doing this, spilling stuff, and hands are all sticky. And
I eat in here, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because we can't move. Like, we can't really go anywhere.
No, I got to sit right. I mean, I got to sit here. And then, like, sometimes I'll bring sandwiches from home, and I'll get to take a bite or two during a commercial. I have some Pringles sitting right next to me.
Oh, boy.
That I have been snacking on during commercial breaks.
Real quick, I saw something that Australia, they changed the Pringles. Did you see that?
What do you mean?
They made them rounder and smaller.
Oh, no, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, it's in Australia.
Do they not stack?
I don't think so.
Well, then they're not
Pringles.
They do,
but they're not as
They're not as curvy?
Yeah.
I don't appreciate that at all.
I thought of you when I saw that.
I don't even.
Like he would be so mad.
I don't even mess. All right, how about this? How about some diner lingo? You ready for some diner lingo, Esmeralda?
Top me off, hon.
All right. What was that? Everybody mark that one down, 339 for straight out of context.
Oh, because of the coffee.
I understand.
All right.
Let's see. How about Adam and Eve on a raft? Or on a log? Do you know what that is? Adam and Eve on a raft.
Is it eggs on toast?
It's two poached eggs on toast.
Hey!
Very good. Very good. How about Adam's Ale or City Juice or Dog Soup? These are all all phrases for one thing. You ready? Adam's Ale or City Juice or Dog Soup. In the world of diners, what is Adam's Ale, City Juice, and Dog Soup?
Apple juice?
Water.
Oh. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but
water.
I was wondering, Adam's Ale.
What, Dog Soup? What is...
Because they drink... That's all they do is drink water.
Yeah, but...
You know, they don't have hands, so they can't use a glass.
I guess.
It's in a bowl.
City Juice. I guess that makes sense if it's coming out of the... If it's coming out of the faucet.
But what's I don't get Adam's Ale.
I don't either.
Because I was thinking
that's
apples.
That's all Adam and Eve had to drink.
Was water?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. You know why? Because they were eggs, evidently. That's why. I was watching, do you know every once in a while I watch reruns of Johnny Carson? Are you aware of this, Dan? Anybody who...
Get out of town.
Does anybody on my Facebook page, I wonder if they know that or not.
So wait,
that was so sad about the chimp.
I was so.
What happened?
There was a chimp on the rerun of Carson yesterday. Mm-hmm. Zippy the chimp.
Oh.
They brought him out. The dude who brought him out was a weirdo. Okay. They bring him out. The chimp is in a 3-piece suit. They bring him out on roller skates. They sit the chimp down. This guy, by the way, the weirdo that brought him out was like, "Yes, I've lived with Zippy now since he was 6 months old."
He was just a person?
Yeah, just a guy. And he's like, yeah, he has his own bedroom. He showers. He eats breakfast with me. We watch television together. He's wearing the same suit as Zippy. Okay, so here's Zippy. Zippy the chimp. And so they make him tie his shoes. Then he slapped Johnny, which of course was funny because anytime Johnny with animals equals comedy. So he slaps Johnny. Then they make him smoke. They make the chimp smoke. He lights up a cigarette, starts smoking. And then meanwhile, this guy's like, yes, he lives with me and he's got his own hut, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, what the? I just felt uncomfortable watching the whole thing. And I'm a Lancelot Link fan, by the way. Lancelot Link is one of the greatest shows ever. But there was just something really weird about this whole thing. Like the smoking part, I was like, no, come on. Now, I realize it was a different time. And that was in the, I think it was from 85, yesterday's episode. Or I should say that would have been Tuesday night's episode, but I watched it Wednesday morning. So I know times were different then, and it was like, you know, like now nobody would ever dream of showing a chimp smoking a cigarette. And here's another ironic thing. You know who was one of the big guests the day before, Dan?
Who's that?
Diane Fossey, who, you know, spent time with gorillas and studying gorillas. And, you know, they made a movie out of her life called Gorillas in the Mist with Sigourney Weaver playing her. So you got one day you've got this woman who's like talking about, you know, how important the lives of gorillas are. And the next episode, they got a chimp smoking cigarettes on roller skates trying to eat spaghetti.
I was trying to look for see if the clip was online, and there is one, but it's of a Zippy the Chimp on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah, Zippy the Chimp was everywhere.
And I, was he like a doppelganger?
He was like a... No, I think
the
he was...
The knockoff, the Zippy?
No, Zippy was a real dude.
Right, but Zippy the one that you saw.
No, he was the real Zippy. I'm pretty sure he was a real Zippy.
Oh.
Unless they had like a bunch of Zippies.
So he's very old then? Because he is from 61, the clip I'm watching, I'm seeing.
Boy, he would have been... Because then he would have been over. He would have been 30 at that point if he was in 61. Oh. Maybe it's a different Zippy. Maybe Son of Zippy. I don't know.
Son of Zippy. I mean, this Zippy the Chimp is really, he's jumping into hoops on roller skates.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the same sort of thing. But he just looked really sad. Like I put pictures of it on my Facebook page, Esmeralda, my regular Facebook page. I took like 5 stills from it. And it just, like, if you look at him, I mean, the chimp looked miserable. Like, it was just like, you know, he's got this suit on, you know, and they're forcing him to tie his shoes, and the guy was grabbing his, the weirdo owner dude was kind of grabbing his hand to correct him when he wasn't tying the shoe right. It just was it was really kind of uncomfortable. Like, the whole segment, I was just like, this is just weird.
Him lighting that cigarette, he looks a little grizzled.
He does. I mean, look at the first picture. Like, look at him. He's like, he looks thrilled. Oh, this is great that I'm wearing the same suit as this weirdo that I live with. He's got me on roller skates.
Bob Uecker was also on that?
Yes, Uecker was on. He had to follow the chimp. He comes out, first joke is, you know, it's the second time I've had to follow an animal, and I'm following chimps.
Oh, Bob Uecker.
Uecker rules,
oh,
man.
Oh, this poor chimp.
That's what I'm saying. And it was 2 segments. He had him on for 2 segments. He was on longer than Uecker was. Ridiculous. But anyway, the thing I wanted to mention was that we were talking about the ale water. Johnny was talking about, this was an episode from the 70s, and he was talking about water conservation, because I guess there was a drought in California, as there is, you know, very often. And he's like, here are some tips on how you can cut down on use of water. Don't flush. You know, if you're smoking cigarettes, this is because this was the 70s, don't use your toilet as an ashtray and flush it. That's 7 gallons of water that gets for every cigarette. I guess that was a very popular thing to do, was to throw your cigarettes into the toilet. But the thing that blew Johnny's mind was, how about this? Fill up a bottle with tap water and keep it in your fridge. And then when you want a nice cool glass of water, instead of opening up the tap and letting it run and run and run until it's cold enough, you'll have cold water in your refrigerator. Like, he thought that was the most stunning idea ever.
That is funny to think that people at one point did not carry water bottles. Like,
no,
that
I
wasn't
know.
A thing at all.
70s, man.
That is.
It's so weird. But he was like, oh, my God, this is an unbelievable idea. Put some water in a bottle and stick it in the fridge instead of going to the tap every time and opening it up until it cools down.
I mean, you would have blown his mind if you said, told him about water bottles. Exactly. Or like, you
and
know.
Filters and stuff.
Yeah.
What?
You know, disposable
Brita?
Water. And...
What the hell is Brita?
Yeah, like a bottle of water.
Oh, my God. So, all right, we got a break here, and then we'll come back. We got more lingo and jargon to talk about. 312-981-7200. I'll quiz you a little bit more on the diner lingo, Esmeralda. 815 area code. This is very strange. They want to hear Laura Nero, so we'll hear Triple Play Thursday, Laura Nero. Dan, do you know why this is strange?
I do not.
Do you know who recorded Eli's Coming?
Who's that?
Three Dog Night.
How about that?
So, and I'm assuming that the 815 area code knew that.
That was submitted before the beginning of
Come
the show.
Come on, are you serious?
Yeah,
That's so weird. That's so weird. Three Dog Night recorded the big version, the big hit version of Eli's Coming. Their version rules. I'm telling you, man, go back in time, get in the DeLorean, go back to 1972, 73, and enjoy Three Dog Night.
Of all the things you can do with time travel.
Go back in time and enjoy Three Dog Night. That's what you should do.
Number one on the list.
Number one on the list is go back in time and enjoy Three Dog Night in the early 70s because it's quite enjoyable. Did you know I played drums with Three Dog Night? Did I ever tell you this story?
What?
In your house to a CD?
No, at Ginger's Ale House. There used to be this guy named Stuart, British guy, who used to play every Saturday night at the Red Lion Pub. It used to be on Lincoln Avenue. And he used to play every Saturday night. And we would go every Saturday night. My friends and I would go every Saturday night to the Red Lion without missing it. And we loved Stuart. Stuart was great. He would sing songs. We'd sing along. He called us the Guinness Boys Choir. We used to sing all along the Watchtower. It would be the Guinness Boys Choir. And then when he took a break, we would sing Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, our table would do Bohemian Rhapsody from beginning to end. I've told this story before because some people are convinced that Mike Myers was there one night and stole it and put it in the movie. And Mike Myers is a known thief of comedy. Like, he really is. He steals from everybody. But, I mean, I think it sounds very Oliver Stone-ish, but the fact is that we did do it every weekend. We did Bohemian Rhapsody from beginning to end. And during the part where the jam starts, we would all bang our heads. And we did the whole thing, and this was 2-3 years before Wayne's World ever came out. So when I saw Wayne's World, I freaked out. I was like, oh, my God. This is exactly what we used to do with the Red Lion every week. And then I got a hold. Somebody sent me a copy of the original script. It's not in the original script. That scene's not in the original script. So take that with what you will. That's not the story I'm trying to tell. Anyway, so Stuart would play, and then the Red Lion closed. And so I was talking to the guy who ran Ginger's, and I was like, you should get this guy Stuart to come in here on Sunday nights. He's awesome. While I bartend, he can come in. So he'd come in, and we got Stuart. He came in. Stuart knew two of the guys in Three Dog Night. They were in town playing some sort of fest. This was in the mid-90s, early 90s, something like that. Yeah, early 90s, 92, 93. So they were playing like some neighborhood fest. At this point, they weren't Three Dog Night from the 70s, you know, anymore. And I think one of the Dog Nights was not there. It was like two of the guys. So he was like, you know, I think they're going to come in tonight. They're going to come in and they might jam with us. So, because sometimes I would go up and I'd play drums with Stuart. And my buddy would come up and play bass, and we would play a few songs. So he's like, yeah, I think Three Dog Night is going to come in. So they came in. And Oaken and I and a couple other guys start freaking out. We're like, oh, my God, it's Three Dog Night. So we go up and we meet him. It was Chuck Negron was not there, but the other two guys were. It was just Chuck Negron who was not there. So the other two guys come up and we'll say, hey, oh, my God, we're huge fans. So they get up on stage, and they're going to perform, and we're like, yeah, you know. And they're like, come on up, why don't you play a song with us? And so we get up there. We're only going to play a song with them. We get up there. I get up there on the drums, and I'm like, hey, man, let's do Eli's Coming or something. They're like, oh, no, we won't be doing any of our songs. And I'm like, what? No, we're not going to do any of our songs because that's too much like work. We're just going to have fun. So we played Twist and Shout. And then I got off the stage, and all night long, they didn't play any of their songs. No, it's too much like work. Like, shut up, man. Shut up. Shut up and play out in the country. I don't want to hear you. Play Eli's. Play one. Play Shambhala. I don't want to. What are you doing? So they played like standards. So it was like just watching, you know, it could have been like if Stuart, because Stuart played those songs. Stuart would play Beatles songs. He'd cover all those. But there's Three Dog Night is there. Three Dog Night is in the bar. Yeah, we're going to do Twist and Shout. The hell are you talking about? So I did. I played drums on, played Twist and Shout on the drums with Three Dog Night. Although I wanted to play Eli's Coming. I requested Eli's Coming. They looked at me like I was, you know, like an idiot. I'm like, whoa, I'm sorry I'm requesting one of your songs, one of your hit songs. Oaken was mad. Oh, I remember Oaken was so mad. He said, they're not going to play Shambhala. I'm like, no, they're not going to play any of their songs. You know? We're lucky we'll hear Hound Dog. I think that's as edgy as they're going to get this evening. We're not going to hear Shambhala. We're not going to hear The Show Must Go On. None of it. It was a very disappointing evening.
You should have gone to the show they were playing at prior to them being
there. Oh, it's too much like work. Shut up. Too much like work. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We have more jargon to talk about and lingo, and we got some texts here that we'll get to as well. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6. Triple Play Thursday continues with our second song. 815 area code requested Laura Nero, and that's Stone Soul Picnic. Yeah, man. Now, Steve has more info about some Laura Nero stuff. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Nick. Yeah, it's great to hear Laura Nero again. Yeah, hopefully the Fifth Dimension is still writing her thank you notes for borrowing Stone Soul Picnic, like you just played, Wedding Bell Blues, Eli's Cummins. Like, they made a career borrowing her music. Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, when you think about when she was, you know, 18 or 19, she had the voice of Destiny playing at Monterey Pop Festival. Quite an unheralded talent, actually. You know, kept to herself, so you didn't really know much about her. Interesting, I think I read that both her and her mom, when they were both 49 years old, died of ovarian cancer, same age.
Yeah. Like,
you know, and that's what, of course, took Gilda Radner from us.
Right.
And another weird rock and roll irony is Chris Wood, Traffic, flute player, great, played on Jimi Hendrix's 68 record, Electric Ladyland, 1983, A Merman I Should Turn to Be, plays on that song. 25 years later, when 1983 rolls around, Chris Wood dies.
Mm.
So I always think of Asia like that 1982. So dates and songs always kind of gave me the willies after Chris Wood.
Yeah,
so
that's a little weird. That's
so
weird.
Keep it contemporary and don't age yourself.
Right.
Great
All right.
Show as always, brother.
Steve,
thanks
here, buddy. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got some lingo stuff here to do. We got some texts coming in. Luna says there need to be more Esmeralda Nick duets. What?
Well, of singing.
Of us singing?
Because we're like songbirds.
Yeah. Because we've got voices of angels.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Smooth as silk.
That's right. Andy says, I'm a professional truck driver, and there's a whole dictionary of terms and words for cars, which we call four-wheelers, and their actions. However, there is not one that I can use on the radio without being fined by the FCC. Okay, Andy, thank you. Steve says, Nick, I highly recommend Chuck Negron's biography. The bass player wrote one, too. They both have unreal stories about Three Dog Night. Yeah. The one story about Three Dog Night that I remember that came out of Chuck Negron's book, and this is true, Dan, you can actually look this up, his penis exploded. Yeah.
I'll just take your word for it.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm serious. If you, like, even Google that, well, you know. Maybe
not at work.
I think if you just Google Chuck Negron in general, you don't even have to put that in there. One of the top stories is going to be about that. I guarantee you. Myrna says, Three Dog Night had the best vocalists around. Listen to studio versions of Eli's Coming, Never Been to Spain, and listen to the live versions. The vocals are just as good. Yeah, they were great. I saw them live and to this day have not heard a male vocalist with their range, power, and ability to harmonize. They were great. Like I said, get the DeLorean, go back to 1972 or 73, and enjoy Three Dog Night. No, man, that's too much like work. Shut up. I was so mad. Oaken was so mad. We're not going to hear Shambhala? No! We're going to hear Beach Blanket Bingo or something. I don't know. All right, Esmeralda, we got some diner stuff here. You ready?
Go for it.
How about this? Axle grease?
Black coffee?
Nope. How about this? The same thing. Skid grease. Axle grease, skid grease, or maybe this one might do it for you. Cow paste. Diner term.
Butter?
Yes. That's exactly right. Butter. All right. How about belch water? What would belch water be?
Soda?
That's right. Soda water. It's also and seltzer. It's also known as balloon water.
Hmm.
Balloon water, why? Because clowns use seltzer bottles and they have balloons? Is that?
Because it bloats you?
Yeah, I guess. How about this? Blonde with sand. What's blonde with sand?
No idea.
That's coffee, cream, and sugar.
Oh.
Oh. Blonde with sand. How about Bloodhound in the Hay? What's Bloodhound in the Hay? These are all diner terms. Bloodhound in the Hay.
A rare burger?
No. A hot dog on sauerkraut.
What the? Okay.
Bloodhound in the Hay.
Right.
How about bossy in a bowl? Give me a bossy in a bowl.
Is that chili?
Beef stew.
Okay.
These are, you'll be able to get all of these. These are a ton of terms for this. What's a bow wow?
Hot dog?
Yeah. And also bun pup. A tube steak. Groundhog. Coney Island.
It seems like it'd be so much easier
I know.
To just say hot dog.
Don't you think so? Especially like Coney Island Bloodhound. I mean, how much longer is it to say that than just go hot dog?
Give me some balloon water.
That is a hot dog that goes on.
See, Celine Dion was right. How about Bronx Vanilla?
Root beer? Or
no.
Like a vanilla root beer float?
No.
Okay.
This is weird. I don't understand that. Here are the next two. The next two make more sense to me for the same term. Halitosis.
Garlic.
Exactly right. And then the next one was Italian perfume. That's for garlic. What is Bronx Vanilla? Because in the Bronx, everybody smells like garlic?
That's their vanilla?
I guess. All right, this is a good one. You ready for this? What are bullets?
What? Like for who?
Diner. This is Diner.
Oh,
Ringo.
I see. Okay.
What are bullets?
I was like, did we move on to cop things?
No, these are still diner. All the stuff I'm giving you is diner lingo.
Sausages.
Nope. All right, same thing. Whistleberries. What are whistleberries? This one actually I think is pretty funny.
No idea.
Baked beans.
Ah, oh, okay.
Whistleberries.
Makes sense.
That's pretty funny. All right, how about this? Burn one.
Well done.
Just
toasted.
It's to put a hamburger on the grill.
Oh, okay.
Is to just burn one.
All right.
All right, how about this? Burn one, take it through the garden, and pin a rose on it.
So with everything on it, and French fries?
No. It's a hamburger with lettuce, tomato, and onion. So I guess the tomato is pinning a rose on it.
Oh, okay.
So you burn one, take it through the garden, and you pin a rose on it.
This will be good when I start my waitressing gig at Jerry's Grill.
I'm not sure that they use any of this stuff. How about this one? Burn the British. Burn the British.
English toasted English muffin?
Very good. Yes. I like that one. That's good. How about cackle fruit?
Oh, no idea.
Cackle fruit. Cackle fruit, by the way, they use that term when the Three Stooges own a diner. They use cackle fruit. That's a term that they used. All right, same word, cackleberries. So you got cackle fruit, cackleberries. You should be able to get it from this one. Same thing, hen fruit.
No idea.
Eggs.
Okay.
Eggs.
What is
cackle, because I guess that they think that hens cackle, chickens cackle.
They cluck.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Customer will take a chance. What? this one's pretty ridiculous. Customer will take a chance.
The fish.
No, that's good. That's good. All right, I'll give you this another term for the same thing. Clean up the kitchen.
An omelet?
Nope. And sweep the floor. Not sweep the leg like in Karate Kid. Sweep the floor. So it's customer will take a chance or clean up the kitchen or sweep the floor.
I couldn't tell you.
Hash.
Oh.
That's pretty good. I like that. Huh. If anybody is in the restaurant business.
I wonder what that means by taking a chance.
Because you put a bunch of crap in the hash. Like, I guess you could just, like, throw in whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
into the head. It's like Wendy's chili. They just like the hamburger just been sitting on the grill, just chop it up and throw it in the chili.
What? That sounds fine.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying this. They just throw a bunch of crap in the chili.
Right.
That's what they do probably with the hash. Customer will take a chance. If anybody is in the business here and has heard these or used them, and some of these might be just ancient. You know what I mean? Like cackle fruit. That was in a Three Stooges short in the 30s. Seriously. It was from the 30s. So I don't think anybody uses cackle fruit anymore. Especially when all you have to do is say eggs. I mean, I don't know. All right. We have a break here for weather and traffic, and then we'll come back. Hey, I want to hear from you. What jargon makes you crazy? What jargon do you use with your friends? Language stuff, your favorite phrases, and work jargon. 312-981-7200. 815, area code again, Laura Nyro. And When I Die. And it's amazing how many songs she wrote that a lot of people don't realize that she wrote. I mean, she wrote a ton of songs that became hits for other artists. And she was amazing, Laura Nyro. All right, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah! Triple Play Thursday continues. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. Tomorrow's Friday, which means Fly Jams Friday. And Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy. And you can participate in those three segments that we do. You Big Dummy is where we take real news stories about dumb people doing really dumb stuff. We read them, and we vote on who's the dummiest. And if you would like to read one of those stories on the air during that segment, it's real easy. Find a link to a funny dummy story. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. nickdshow@gmail.com. Say, hey, Dan, I would like to read this on the air. Dan will get a hold of you. We'll record it. You'll read it on the air. And on top of that, you get a Lumel Nottis gift certificate. So it's a win-win-win-win situation. Also, Straight Out of Context. Fun thing. You listen 24/7 to this radio station whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle. Jot down the day, the time, who said it. And again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to this station 24/7. Whenever I am mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, you become a spy. Let us know what people are talking about us. And jot it all down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. That's all coming up on tomorrow's show. And we'll get a visit from Jim Ryan, who writes about music for the Daily Herald. He also does traffic every once in a while here at WGN. He will join us to talk about Lollapalooza and give you a preview of the full weekend of music at Lollapalooza. Are you going to Lollapalooza, Esmeralda?
I am not.
No. Have you gone in the past?
I went one day.
Okay.
Some years back, I went to see Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah! I have not gone since 95. I went to the first five. 91, 92, 93, 94, and 95.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that, too, because it's the 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
So we will talk about the first Lollapaloozas. And it was a different thing then.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was touring.
I think of it more on The Simpsons. When they had, was it Hubble-Balooza?
Hubble-Balooza, yeah.
I think of when he, that's what Lollapalooza used to be.
Yeah, he'd come out and catch the cannonball in his gut.
Yeah. Oh, and to be clear, I went to the most recent Rage Against the Machine concert.
Yeah, like the one that was you're talking when they took over Grant Park.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was not.
See, this was
not there in the 90s.
Okay.
That would have been amazing,
but you weren't working at the World when at the Tweeter Center. Did they
no,
come through?
No, it did not come through. I don't think it was happening at that point because I was there in '99.
Okay, yeah, I think they did take a few years off. Lollapalooza did take a few years off before they came back. Yeah, but yeah, the first five were '92 was the, if I remember correctly, '92 was the best one. If I remember, that was the. I know Ice Cube was on the 92. Pearl Jam, Soundgarden was on the 92 tour. That was the first time that they had Jim Rose's Crazy Freak Show, the crazy Jim Rose sideshow. That was there too. I just remember that lineup being one of the best ones. So, yeah, but I went to the first five, and then I was like, yeah, okay, I'm done. now it's like a, you know, it's a, just a, it's nuts.
It's very corporate. Oh. It's very fancy.
And there's like 900 stages, and I don't, the thing that I'm going to ask Jim about is how do you plan on what you're going to see? There's like 12 different stages, and you got to walk like 12 miles to get to one stage if you want to see one act, and then what, you know, some people just go to one stage and go, I'm just going to stay here.
Yeah, and I thought I was out of touch when I went to Pitchfork. I'm looking at all the band names, and there's a lot of bands. I don't know any of the smaller bands.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I know the big main acts, but I could not tell you.
Who are some of the...
I don't know.
Some of the main acts. Who are some of the big acts? I don't even know who's playing.
I think Radiohead?
Radiohead is playing. You're right.
And every year it just seems to get less and less interesting to me.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather go to Pitchfork or to Riot Fest.
Right. And Riot Fest is in September.
Yes. And this just kind of seems boring.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not my scene, man.
Yeah, to me this is like the FM radio
the
version of festivals.
Well, the festival scene is just, I'm too old for that crap.
You got to get the VIPs. That's
Here's the thing, Esmeralda. I splurged a little bit. I haven't seen Pearl Jam in about 10 years. So I got tickets for Pearl Jam for Wrigley Field. So my friend Mike and I are going to go. Mike is the biggest Pearl Jam fan. I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan myself. I haven't seen him in a long time, and I'm like, it's a Saturday night. It's August 20th. It's Saturday night. I'm off. I'm going. So I got some tickets. I went to StubHub. I paid a good amount of money for the tickets. But there's the thing. And I was telling Dan this on the way in. This is like what happens when you're 51 and you're going to go to a concert. I was like, all right, here's the deal. I don't want to. It's at Wrigley, so I will not go to the upper deck. I'm not walking up any ramps. I'm not going up any stairs. So there. I don't want to be on the field. Do not want to be out on the field. There's too many idiots out on the field.
So are you just going to sit in an air-conditioned car?
No.
Outside?
Well, if I had that option, I would. I would. If I could bring a car in with air conditioning, you know, and watch it on the field.
I'm amazed you didn't use any hookups.
I don't have any hookups anymore there. I used to. I don't really. But anyway, so I got the tickets. I ordered the tickets. And you know, Mike agrees with me. Mike is not in his 50s yet. He's close. He's in his mid, I think, late 40s. But, you know, so I'm just like, I don't like going to concerts anymore. You know, I'm old. You know, I went to the John Carpenter concert a couple of weeks ago. Luckily, I was able to sit, you know, and I loved it. It was great. And also because I don't drink now, I'm saving a lot of money because it was $9 a beer at the John Carpenter concert. And I know I would have had at least 5-6 beers, you know. So that's a good way of saving money. I paid $4 for a bottle of water, but, you know. So I got tickets. I'm in the, you know, the box seats, the field box seats that are almost on the field. They're between the bullpen and the dugout.
Okay.
Okay? On the third base side. So we're on the third base side in the box between the dugout and the bullpen. And so we are as close to the field as you can possibly get without being on the field. And I also made sure that we were on the aisle in case we had to pee.
Is there an opening?
Opening where?
Opening act?
I don't know.
Either way, will you go early?
Yeah, I mean, sure, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I don't think there's an opening act. Maybe there is. I mean, they haven't announced it. Or maybe they haven't. I just don't care because I just want to see Pearl Jam.
But would you go for that?
Go for the opening act?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm the worst. I'm like, when do they start? Can we just go 5 minutes before that?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're going to be able to sit. I don't care. You know what I mean? I'll see if it's a cool opening act. That's fine with me. Or they might just do two really long sets, which they've been known to do. So last time I saw Pearl Jam, there wasn't an opening act. They played two long sets. They took a break. They played like an hour and a half. They took a break. They played like another 2 hours. And I think that's probably what they'll do at Wrigley. But it, you know, it doesn't matter. But I just wanted to make sure. So we only have to walk up one small ramp to get into the building. And then we're on the aisle in case we have to pee.
You should get a scooter to take you to your seat.
Don't tempt me.
A rascal.
Don't tempt me. All right, we got a break. We come back. We've got more. Jargon to talk about as well, and more. But the news is next.
That makes somebody feel alone.
That's right.
And there's nothing sure.
Glenn requested a Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, Triple Play Thursday requested Johnny Cash Sunday morning. Boy, it's a little. The songs are a little reflective this morning, don't you think, Dan? That we've got a very sort of melancholy batch of songs.
Yeah, apparently so.
Triple Play Thursday. It's getting close to the weekend. They'd be happy. Uh, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking lingo and jargon and things like that. Ben, our engineer, good old Ben, said, my daughter worked at Portillo's, and they had their own lingo. I can't remember the wording, but they didn't refer to a cake shake as a cake shake. Well, I wonder how they... I wonder how they did that. Chef Frank says, Nick, I have been in the business for 40 years, and I have never heard or used any of that diner language. Okay. By the way, when I worked at McDonald's like 35 years ago, they had lingo too. Like, for instance, it would be like if somebody was calling, you would call the bin. Which means you would run the back and tell and shout out instructions to the guys who were on the grill and the guys who were dressing the buns and all that stuff. So like Dan, did you ever work in a fast food? You never worked in a fast food place.
Did not. No.
If you were to run a straight six, give me a straight six. That's six burgers. Like lay down six burgers on the grill. That's a straight six.
I was going to guess that would have been like a burger with the works. Like there was six toppings that you would apply.
No. The bun. This is 35 years ago. I'm going to forget. I'm surprised I even remember that. Now, like if it was real busy, you'd do a straight 12. Straight 12. And then like if it was real busy, do the straight 12. And then you would go cheese on the straight 12. And then the guy running the bin would go six cheese on the straight 12, and you would put six pieces of cheese. So that means, you know. And all the buns were dressed at the same time. You know, like you would have the 12 buns on the tray, and you would ketchup, mustard, all that stuff. If it was a special, you'd have to pull it aside. But yeah, and then if it was real busy, you know, like give me a straight 12. So you get the straight 12 down, you press you put them down, you press the button, and then there's buzzers that go off and light up. And that tells you when to sear. Like first, you put it on, and a little buzzer goes beep, 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 and a light over the word sear. Then you would get the thing, and you would sear the burgers into the grill. And then you'd wait a little bit longer, and then it would go beep, 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 and it would say turn. And then you turn the burgers over on the grill. And if it was real busy, they would go, give me a straight 12 and give me another straight 12 on the turn. So if it's like really busy, you turn the 12 patties over and then you got to lay down another 12.
That sounds exciting.
Oh, it's magnificent working at McDonald's. I don't know if that's the way. I don't think they do it like that anymore. I mean, this is in the 80s, in the early 80s. I mean, they didn't have microwaves or anything in the back or none of that.
I'm sure they have better technology.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And then it would be like, give me another one on the pole. So like if it wasn't that busy, mm-hmm. Another straight six on the pole instead of the turn.
Did you at least get a sheet with all of these on there, like a little vocab thing?
No, you just learned it.
So they'd yell at you and the first time would you be like, I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I don't remember whether or not we got some sort of cheat sheet or something. Maybe we did. I just don't. I mean, it was 35 years ago.
Especially if it's busy and they're yelling at you and you're just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It would get crazy sometimes. I mean, it would get crazy. Like on a Saturday afternoon, it would get nutty, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. No, McDonald's. Yeah.
Give me 12 max. And you throw the max.
I'm in there at like 5:30, 6 a.m. and it's already bumping.
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember where... You know, like what are the other things that you like lingo? We had a ton of lingo. And, you know, when I was working at mm-hmm. McDonald's, they had the bin, and so you'd be in the back, you'd wrap the cheeseburger or you'd wrap the Big Mac or mm-hmm. put it in its styrofoam container back in those days.
Right, yeah.
And you just, and they each bin had slots. Mm-hmm. So you would slide down, one slot would be where the hamburgers would stack up.
Yeah, I see.
On an
yeah.
angle, they would slide down. And it was heated, the bin was heated.
Oh.
So it would keep, like there was a lamp on top and there was heat coming through, so it would keep the burgers warm.
I never thought of that.
And you would put a number, you would slide down a number behind the row of burgers, and that number was, oh, I'm trying to remember if it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever. So if it would, let's say it's 4:40 right now,
mm-hmm.
and I just finished making some burgers and I put them in there. I think it was 15 minutes. I think they could stay in the bin for 15 minutes before they had to be tossed.
Oh, my gosh.
Is how it worked.
Were
so,
you just eating a bunch of expired burgers?
Yeah, you'd be surprised at what happened. We used to close at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
There would be times when we would just suddenly just go, hey, listen, just put down a bunch of quarter pounders. It's 5 to 11. Just
oh, look, you would get you would do fresh ones.
Oh, yeah.
But what about the ones that would be?
We'd eat them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'd have sacks of food. We'd have sacks of food if you closed at McDonald's.
No, but I mean when. So if it expired and
toss them. They usually toss them if you were working. But at the end of the night, you were supposed to keep the bin really low.
Yeah.
So at the end of the night, you didn't have a lot of waste. Oh, exactly. Man, are you kidding me? Are you kidding?
Would you make crazy versions?
Yeah.
Of burgers?
I used to make Big Mac for my break. I would make Big Macs with quarter pounder meat. Instead of the,
okay, I didn't know there was a difference.
You don't know that the quarter pounder meat and the Big Mac is just a regular hamburger patty.
Okay.
So it's the same patty that they use for the cheeseburger and the hamburger.
Okay.
But you just get two of them and you get the extra bun on the Big Mac.
Uh-huh.
Quarter pounder is it's a quarter pound.
Oh, it's a big. Oh,
it's a much bigger patty. So I would make Big Macs for myself with the quarter pounder meat.
I see. Okay.
It's ridiculous.
Why wouldn't you
man?
Just make yourself a Big, so it would be a quarter pounder Big Mac.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I like the Big Mac sauce, and I like the Big Mac. Only I wanted more meat.
You mean the mayo and the ketchup mix?
Yeah. Well, they never. It came in caulk tubes.
Oh, great!
It did. It was like a caulk gun. You go and squirt the Big Mac sauce. They never told you what it was. That's Thousand Island dressing. It tastes exactly like Thousand Island dressing.
That sounds kind of fun.
Oh yeah. Well, we used to take the tartar sauce came in that container too. Like, it was like a caulk gun.
Do you guys have fights?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Oh, dude, what are you, nuts? 16-year-old kids working at McDonald's?
Oh, of course.
Shooting tartar sauce at each other for 5 hours? That's, of course.
That's insane.
It's the best.
They're all professionals.
I burned myself. I still have scars from working at McDonald's.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy. Oh, look at this. We have some former McDonald's jingo lingo people. Here's Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Nick. I want to tell you, I used to work at the Woodfield Mall McDonald's in the 70s, about 76 or 7.
Yeah.
And people lined up out into the mall during Christmas. I mean, there were thousands of people all day long.
Yeah.
It was incredible. We had the best food fights there ever.
No, it's true, man. It's absolutely true. Now, was I close on the lingo, Steve, with the straight six and on the turn and all that stuff?
Yeah. There was all kinds of pole technology. I ran the quarter grill. Don't remember a lot of it, but I mean, there was all kinds of things you had to remember.
Yeah. You had to put the buns in at a certain time, like on the, if I remember correctly, you would put the buns in the toaster, on the turn. I think it was on the turn, you would put the buns in the toaster at that time.
Yeah, there was quite a few things you had to really be coordinated with the preparation of the food at times.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, man.
See, that sounds oddly fun to me.
Well,
it was.
I think the symphony of it all that you have to, you know. At one
well,
point
I will say this: when Steve, you can testify to this. When it was busy, the shifts went by like that. I mean, went by like the next thing you know, it's like, oh my God, I've been here for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Like if it's really well, that's true of any job. Like if you're working
right,
in a,
yeah, yeah.
Like if you bartended.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
if you're in the weeds. Oh, there's a term.
There you go.
There's a term. If you're in the weeds, you're busting ass, and then suddenly you're like, oh, man, I'm done.
Yeah, it gets unbusy, and you go, whew.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Time could definitely stand still there, though, when it was not busy. They'd have you wiping down in bathrooms, all kinds of
stuff. Oh, yeah, one of my favorite terms ever And God, I can't remember her name. She was a manager there. But she used to always, and Steve, I'm sure you know the term. If you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Wow.
Oh, man. I heard that so.
I know. That's what I'm saying, man. You heard it like 10 hours. You know, you'd hear it like 15 times during a shift. If you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
And, man, they didn't pay anybody for squat back then.
I got 3 1/4. When I first started, minimum wage at McDonald's, $3.25 an hour.
Yeah, I my first job, I worked at Sizzler for minimum wage, and then Ponderosa, and then McDonald's. And
you
I
have
had
to wipe down the
it.
Snot, yeah. The snot tray thing?
The snot tray. No, the sneeze guard, not the snot tray.
I mean, it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, but it's not a tray of snot. It's just a plexiglass. Okay, Steve, thanks, man.
Hey, just one last thing. I'm sorry. I saw Three Dog Night at my junior high, Jane Addams Junior High in Schaumburg, and there was a crowd of like 50,000 people. It was amazing.
I bet.
They were good.
Yeah, they were. Okay, thank you, Steve.
All right, thanks. Bye.
All right, see ya.
See, they're playing junior highs. 19. They don't want to play their songs. It's like work.
That's like asking me to put more down on the turn. I don't want to do that.
Be like, hey Nick, can you do your show for us? You're just sitting.
I'm just sitting at home.
Dinner.
No, I'm not going to do my show.
Do your show.
Come on, Nick. Read us you big dummy stories.
read a spot.
I would do that.
Read a nap
for my fans. Yeah, but they're going to play music anyway. I mean, they came in there to play music, right? It's not like it's someone coming into my apartment and going, hey, do your act. Or do your show. But what if I'm going somewhere to speak and entertain people?
And they would tell... No, so people have me all the time. They're like, do you do some traffic? Can you do what you do? And I'm like, really? Oh,
God. All right.
So I know how Three Dog Night feels.
All right. I know how... This is a quote from Esmeralda Leon, everybody. I know how Three Dog Night feels. That's
like,
Esmeralda
dance,
just
monkey,
said.
Dance.
That's what Esmeralda just said. She knows how Three Dog Night feels.
I think I'm going to name him
Bill or George. Anything but Sue. I still hate that name.
Yeah. The great Shel Silverstein wrote that song.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
The fantastic Shel Silverstein wrote Boy Named Sue, Johnny Cash. I love that song.
I would hear it nonstop at Hungry Brain.
Yeah, well, maybe I played it,
That and Ring of Fire.
Yeah. Not so much Ring of Fire. I love Ring of Fire. It's a great song, but I am guilty of being in bars in the past and playing Boy Named Sue.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've done it one time when you were there. I'm sure. So I apologize. All right, how about this? We got some texts coming in. 773 area code. Drop 6 fish. Drop 3 apple and 3 mixed.
Do it, Nick.
That's a. Go. That's like when you're working the fryer. That's what you got to. So if you're working, you got to drop 6 fish, and then your 3 apple, and there's one was mixed.
Now, is there a fryer for the apples?
Oh yeah,
and for the fish.
Oh yeah.
And for the okay.
I mean yeah, because otherwise you're going to have very fishy tasting apple pies.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, and you're supposed to. I mean, I can't remember when you're supposed to clean out the shortening and change it,
mm-hmm.
But there was like a regular schedule that you had to do that.
You know, I just saw a thing that people are stealing it.
Stealing what? The shortening?
The grease. Remember like that Simpsons episode?
Oh, from the back where you dump it out?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Where was it? Someone was stealing. Yeah, they stole it from some restaurant.
That's disgusting.
Well, no, but it's because it's gold. Greasy gold.
It's disgusting, though.
It's like that Simpsons episode, remember?
Yeah.
The retirement?
Yeah.
It's exactly what people are doing. They're stealing the grease.
That was the worst. That was the worst part of the one of the worst parts of the job. They would have these grease bins on either side of the grill, mm-hmm. of the flat top grill, and you would scrape the residue off into the sides.
Yeah,
and then there'd be grease, and there'd be like burnt ends, whatever's left over,
mm-hmm.
the residue that's left from the burgers and stuff. And at the end of that, you'd have to slide out this giant. This giant like bin filled with grease. Then you had to take it and dump it into and there was a like a container in the back by the garbage cans, mm-hmm. by the dumpsters where you would, it was just nothing but this big thing of disgusting grease. It was,
would it
was
come
repulsive.
Out, would you have to clean it completely
yeah.
or just pop out whatever is in there and then put it back in?
Well, it,
you know what I mean? Like
at
with
the
hot
end,
water
at the end of the night, you had to clean it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
See, now that would be satisfying yet disgusting.
That's what they, oh, here's backsplash. Another term. Here's another term. If you're closing, okay, and you're there till, you know, close. You either, like, there are two people that work in the grill area, like, if, you know, at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
One guy mans the grill, so he cleans up the grill area, the prep area, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of the trays and the spatulas and the searing things and everything that you use, that goes back into what they call dives.
Okay.
And then there's a person in the back doing dives, and that just means dishes. Like, you're washing everything. So
yeah,
there's
I never
one,
thought about that.
There's
no real dishes except for what is used to cook.
Cooking and like coffee pots and all that stuff goes to the back and dives.
But that's so funny. All that stuff is being washed. But yeah, there truly isn't like, you know, you don't have plates.
No, no. But you do have, there's a lot of stuff that you have to clean at the
end
of the night.
So there's just like the normal spray thing and the.
The giant spray, yeah.
Weird oven looking thing.
You'd have that. You'd have like bartending. You'd put it in the sanitizer thing, mm-hmm. and then you'd rinse it. You know, like when you would do glasses.
Yeah.
Same thing. But you call that dives.
Oh.
I hated doing dives. I hated it. I'd rather close in the. It was more work to work. It was more work to actually close the grill area because
mm-hmm.
there was more stuff to do. But it was so much better than just being back there
right.
getting greasy stuff thrown at you that you had to clean.
Yeah. And then how clean would you actually get it?
Well, in my case, not good. 815 area code. I'm McDonald's vet from 93 to 97. They eventually got rid of the grill you used, and they have them. They're like George Foreman grills that you cook both sides at the same time.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
I wonder if George Foreman technology is, if he's getting any money from that.
And his 80 sons, George. 219, I had a roommate who worked at McDonald's. We lived across the street. When breakfast was over, we had like 15 sausage and biscuits left over. She brought them over. We were so close that she was still taking orders while giving us food.
Oh, my gosh. I would make like a casserole with the biscuits and
sausage. What's the name of those guys, Dan? The Epic Meal Time?
Yeah, that's it. Epic
Have you ever
meal.
Seen oh, that? They? Have you ever seen those guys?
Yeah, they kind of gross me out.
Oh,
they're just enormous.
It's
like,
fantastic.
Ugh.
It's fantastic. Have you ever seen the slider lasagna that they made?
No.
It's fantastic. The White Castle slider lasagna? Those guys are awesome, man. I think those guys are hilarious.
It reminds me of Man versus Food, and I never enjoyed
yeah.
that.
Well, that.
Copious amounts of food.
Well, that's the thing. That guy had to stop that. Richmond had to stop
that. Yeah, because he was eating it all.
I mean, I remember the second season started. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy weighs like 50 pounds more than he did the first season. And then, like, I think his doctor went, you need to stop.
Yeah, you can only keep that up for so long.
And then they had Man versus Food, but
Light.
It was not him. Nation. Man versus Food Nation.
Oh, so he put it onto other people?
Yeah, he would come out and coach people. He's all svelte now. You know, he looks great now. Adam Richman looks good now.
Yeah, I've seen pictures.
And so, you know, but then he would just go, you eat that, you eat the crap, and I'll stand here and cheer. So, all right. We got the opening bell coming up in just a few minutes. Let's find out what is going to happen on the show. And here is Steve. Hey,
you
Steve.
Know, you know, but it's not any fun not watching him eat anymore because you're always kind of thinking, okay, he's going to have a grabber during the show and
yeah.
that's going to be it.
But, you know, that guy, I got to say, I think Man vs. Food is a very entertaining show.
Yeah,
I love it.
I do too. Yeah.
And he was impressive. I mean, that guy could put it away.
He really could.
My God, I would watch that show. And there's no way he's going to finish eating this stuff. And he did, inevitably.
And it always made me hungry.
Me
like
too.
I had to go out and find it.
Yep,
yeah,
me too.
Yeah. Well, coming up in the opening bell, we're going to have the latest on the Tesla operating car, the autonomous car. There's a new update on what happened to the car that killed the guy. I believe it was in Florida. We'll have an update on where that's going. Also, why social media is so important to the political campaigns as we now move into the home stretch of the presidential race. All coming up next on the opening bell.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day.
All right. You too. So, yeah. But that Man versus Food, that I you, the. The one where he, like, ate the hottest, like, wings ever. Well, he had a lot of those challenges.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw him do a ramen one.
Yeah, he did. He did. Ramen. Yes, he did. I watched every episode of that show. I did. I watched any food show I will have watched.
Yeah.
But there was one where he had to, like, several. But there was one in particular. I think it was the hottest wings on the planet.
Is it ghost peppers?
It was ghost peppers. It was worse than, you know, like, goodness. He was back. They were wearing gas masks when they were making
yeah.
the sauce and stuff.
Yeah.
So he's out there, And not only did he have to finish the wings, but he had to sit for 10 minutes without wiping his hands or his mouth. And he was just like sitting there, and he had to, and like tears are pouring down his cheeks.
Like third degree burns. Well, from that hot sauce.
It was ridiculous. So he couldn't. That was the challenge. Like if you wiped your hands or you wiped your mouth, the challenge was nil. So he did it, and he first of all, obviously, the first thing he did was he started wiping his hands, and he grabbed like a gallon of milk and just started guzzling milk. And then I remember he ran back into the kitchen. And he opened up the ice machine, the lid, and stuck his head in the ice, stuck his face into the ice machine.
That like, just can't be. See, that to the point. I'm not a big spicy fan.
No, neither
I'm
am
learning,
I.
But I just, I no. don't know how people do that.
I don't either, man.
They want the hottest ever.
I swear to God, I don't get it.
I like slow burns.
I like some spice.
Yeah.
I certainly don't want bland food. But right. This hot stuff, I don't understand this
at
all.
Yeah, the kind where you take a bite and then you can't taste anything afterwards.
No, it's insane. It's ridiculous.
Not, I don't like that.
And then I don't even want to, you know, the other thing that they never talk about, Adam Richman never talked about, what happened the next morning?
They could have had a whole health show on the next day.
Terrifying.
Just all about gut health.
Terrifying. I talked about gut health this morning with Rachel True.
You could have had Rachel on.
That's right. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Fly Jams Friday. Esmeralda will become the Heart Melda. News is coming up in next.